This morning, we are honored to be welcoming in U.S. Representative for the Kentucky 6th District, Andy Barr. Welcome, Congressman Barr. How are you?
Good morning, Ethan. Hope you're healthy and well.
So far, I am, and I hope you as well as your entire staff. So let's jump.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's jump right in. I know your time is really busy right now. And, of course, COVID-19 is devastating the American and world economy. Protests are gaining media coverage across the U.S. Some are using the crisis for political gain, and questions are arising concerning whether, we'll be able to get back to work anytime soon. Would you mind weighing in on what the situation looks like from your perspective?
Sure, Ethan. Obviously, our thanks go to the first responders, the healthcare workers, the doctors who have really stepped up here and put their health on the line to take care of the sick. And I think we all want to flatten the curve. We want to get through this and make sure that we put the health and the safety of the American people first. But we also want to flatten the curve without flattening the economy. And what we've seen is an unprecedented damage and carnage to the U.S. economy as a result of the government-imposed shutdown of the economy. And that shutdown is for a good reason. It's well-intended anyway. The purpose is to respond to a public health emergency. But at the same time, as we succeed in flattening the curve, we need to start to looking at reopening parts of the economy, especially in places in the United States where we don't have a large number of cases.
And that's fair enough. As far as a follow-up to that, Kentucky being more rural than other states, do you foresee that Kentucky may be in the line to reopen before other states?
Well, I think we are. I think we've done a good job flattening the curve, and we're at a point now where testing is rapidly improving. I think as more testing capability gets into place, the safer it is to reopen the economy. Also, there's some amazing developments in the private sector. There's over 70 clinical trials underway for antivirals and various treatments, antibody treatments, and then 211 additional that are in the works that are about ready to go to trial. The private sector has really stepped up here. The pharmaceutical industry, in collaboration with the government, with the FDA, providing all of these emergency use authorizations of various therapies. The longer the time goes here, and the more testing capability gets into place, and the more treatments are available, the safer it is for us to reopen the economy. And we are moving in that direction.
Now, since we're on a state level, of course, recently during Governor Beshear's daily press conference, protesters could be heard outside. Could you weigh in on how you feel like Kentucky Governor Beshear is doing during this crisis?
Well, one thing that I've said throughout this crisis is that I think, totally inappropriate to try to politicize this. You know, we need to come together as a country, Republicans and Democrats, governors, the president. That's why I think it's been so unproductive for people to criticize the president and the administration. I appreciate my working relationship with both the president on this and Governor Beshear. We all have to come together, the president, the governors, the Congress, our local officials. I've stayed in touch with many of our mayors and our county judge executives, including those in your listening area, Ethan, and that's been really important to have that cross-government collaboration.
I absolutely agree. One thing along those same lines.
And Ethan, if I could just jump in, one thing that I will say about the relationship between the governor and the federal delegation, early on, we contacted the governor and we encouraged him to work with us. We knew that there were frustrations, and we wanted to make sure we could advocate for the Commonwealth with the federal agencies, such as FEMA. So we've had a daily and now every other day call with the governor's office to make sure we understand what their needs are, so we can go advocate for Kentucky with FEMA, HHS, the FDA, CMS, some of the other federal agencies.
Right, right. So, of course, I've had the privilege of watching your political career from the early days back in Tea Party era time. Are you concerned, and speaking along the same lines of everybody working together, are you concerned that as tribalism is taking over our politics, even during this crisis, that as we look at the Democrat Party, we're seeing a push further and further left, and even as we look at the Conservative Party, we're seeing that there's less concern about spending, that after this COVID-19 crisis, that we may have some permanent damage done to our country?
Well, we definitely have major damage done in terms of the national debt. We're approaching $3 trillion in the cost that this pandemic has caused the United States, not to mention the over 41,000 Americans who have lost their lives. So the disruption to the economy, the massive increase in the national debt, pushing $3 trillion now, it could be $5 trillion when it's all said and done, not to mention the lives lost. This is a major blow to our country. I do think, given all the fiscal stimulus that we've pumped into the economy, we have the opportunity for a pretty, and given the fundamentals of the economy were so strong when we went into this crisis, I do think the potential for a very powerful recovery is in the offing for the third quarter once we get through the public health crisis. But that's exactly why I have called on a bipartisan investigation in Congress into the origins of the virus and China's role in it. And the United States needs to be reimbursed for the massive costs that we are incurring in lives lost and financial and economic damage. And China covered up, they lied from the very beginning, and they need to be held accountable.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's actually where I was headed next. Of course, seeing that you've introduced that legislation, what is the current status of that legislation? And, of course, you also mentioned a little bit of why you think we should pursue it, but if you could kind of expound upon that a little bit more.
Well, sure. And back to the original point, all Americans, not just the Tea Party conservative Republicans, all Americans should be concerned about our growing national debt. And the additional debt that we're incurring as a result of this pandemic. China put all Americans at risk by covering up the origin of this virus. And we now know that the U.S. intelligence agencies and the Defense Department are investigating the origins of the virus and the Wuhan Institute of Virology, this super laboratory in Wuhan at the epicenter of the origin of the virus. We know that 2 years ago, scientists from the U.S. Embassy in Beijing went on a tour of that facility and were so alarmed by what they saw in terms of lack of security protocols and novice procedures that they sent two cables back to the State Department, very concerned about risky experiments with a dangerous and deadly coronavirus from bats. Of all things, coronavirus from bats that they observed 2 years ago in this laboratory. And there's either something to this theory that the Chinese released this virus from a laboratory, or it's one of the greatest coincidences of the last century that you would have a global pandemic start just miles away from this laboratory that's conducting experiments on, of all things, dangerous pneumonia-like coronavirus. And then there's the case of Dr. Li Wenliang, who was sounding the alarm in December. He was observing in the hospitals in Wuhan this very strange, mysterious, new, deadly coronavirus, a pneumonia-like virus that was very contagious. He was warning his fellow physicians about this. He was arrested. He was detained. He was questioned by the Chinese Communist Party. He was then forced to recant in writing, and he was accused of fomenting social unrest. The Chinese Cyberspace Administration shut down all social media reporting. There were citizen journalists, lawyers, and business people who disappeared when they were sounding the alarm. There was a massive cover-up, and the World Health Organization collaborated. They were a co-conspirator. They worked with China to cover up, and they perpetuated and repeated this Chinese lie that there was no human-to-human transmission. And as a result, we lost valuable time. According to at least one study, if China had acted and gotten the word out 3 weeks earlier, 95% of all of the cases of the COVID-19 virus would have been avoided globally. We could have avoided this global pandemic that has cost Americans 41,000 souls. So all of this has cost us enormously. China needs to be held accountable. We're getting new co-sponsors in the Congress every single day. I was on a bipartisan call yesterday. I was calling on my Democrat colleagues to join in. I don't know why there's not as much interest on the part of Democrats here. This shouldn't be a partisan issue. This is about our patriotic duty to uncover the causes of this virus and defend America against this deadly, deadly disease.
Now, you invoked the name of the World Health Organization a minute ago. Of course, President Trump pushing for the defunding of the World Health Organization. Do you agree with that move?
I do. I do for all the reasons I just spelled out. Not only did they echo the lie from the Chinese that there was no human-to-human transmission, and mind you, this is supposed to be the World Health Organization. Their mission is to sound the alarm early on pandemics and epidemics and various threats to human health, and they failed miserably. They helped the Chinese cover this up. And the United States taxpayer is paying the lion's share of their budget. So we certainly need to pull back our funding, hold that organization accountable, clean up the mess there before we send them another dime of hardworking Americans' tax dollars. And furthermore, you know, the World Health Organization, at the end of January, when President Trump imposed a critical travel ban on China, to prevent and implemented very strenuous screening of even American citizens returning to the United States from China. What did the World Health Organization do? They criticized President Trump. Now, this was a decision that Dr. Anthony Fauci, the top infectious disease expert in the United States at the National Institutes of Health, he said it was critical that President Trump shut down the borders at that time. So, we need to be looking back at that decision and saying, you know, that was a very, very smart decision on the part of our president, on our government, to buy us more time to prepare for what was coming.
Now, speaking of good decisions and talking about shutting down the air travel, of course, this morning all across the news media is being covered that the president is set to sign an executive order temporarily suspending immigration. What are your thoughts on that?
Look, these are unprecedented times, and it requires unprecedented and decisive leadership. And look, I believe that we need to take all precautions with respect to containing and constraining travel in and out of the country right now. That doesn't mean that we're not going to at some time in the future return to normal. We do need to return to normal. Our economy needs to return to normal. Our travel and our ability to travel and have a normal immigration processes in place will return to normal. But for right now, we do need to take all necessary precautions to make sure that we come out of this successfully and not have a resurgence of the virus. So to me, it's a prudent step. It's a temporary step. It's not permanent. We are a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation of laws, and we're a nation that owes, first and foremost, our responsibility to the American people to keep them safe and keep them healthy. And I think we are turning a corner. You're seeing a declining number of new confirmed cases of coronavirus. You're seeing a stabilization in hospitalization, including in the hot spots in this country. And so let's keep that progress going while at the same time carefully following the president's three-phase guidelines to reopen the economy domestically, and then hopefully we can return to a more normal situation with respect to international travel as well.
Now, to end on a high note, as, of course, all of us are trying to stay healthy at home, would you mind sharing with the listening audience, of course, not having a gym necessarily to work out in or the things that we commonly see, what are you doing to de-stress during these times, Congressman?
Yeah, that's great. Well, it's funny you mention that because I literally just got back on a morning run with my 9-year-old daughter. She's really getting into exercise, and so I enjoy having a companion, my 9-year-old daughter companion, going on a little morning exercise. So that was fun this morning. But I want to just say to everybody out there, we appreciate the patience everybody's had. I know everybody's got a little bit of cabin fever, especially with the beautiful weather in eastern Kentucky right now. And we just really appreciate everybody's cooperation during this difficult time. Not only have people, you know, had to stay in their homes and social distance, but so many, we recognize so many Kentuckians have lost their jobs and are having difficulty being laid off and not being able to get a paycheck to go to work. That's why it's so important, Ethan, that we replenish this Paycheck Protection Program. You know, we increased unemployment insurance, $250 billion. We have the economic impact payments, $1,200 per individual, $500 per child. We want to make sure that our constituents in Powell County and Estill County and Montgomery County and your listening area, Wolk County, Menifee County, if anyone needs help with either an unemployment benefit or the economic impact check that they call our office, we will help you get it if you have not received it yet. And then if you're a small business owner, we want to make sure that you are able to apply through your local community bank or credit union for one of these paycheck protection programs, which is really designed to keep people off of unemployment. And it's been very successful, $350 billion in forgivable loans to small businesses to keep people on the payroll, keep people employed so that there doesn't have to be layoffs. 1.6 million loans have been approved by almost 5,000 lenders across this country. And more is on the way. More help is on the way so that we can keep people employed.
Now, how do we reach you, Congressman? Of course, you said to reach out if we are having any troubles like that. What's the best way to reach out?
Yeah, best way to reach out to us is in our district office. That number is 859-219-1366. That's 859-219-1366. You can find us on our Facebook page, Congressman Andy Barr. You can also find us on the website at www.barr.house.gov. We encourage you to sign up for our weekly e-newsletter by email on our website. That'll give you a coronavirus federal response update every week or so. And then again, if you are having difficulty with your economic impact check, your payment, your one-time payment, or if you're having difficulty accessing unemployment insurance, you can call our office. One note on the unemployment benefit. In addition to increasing the overall funding from the federal level and extending the time in which individuals can be eligible for unemployment, we increased the amount by $600 per week because we recognize so many Americans are struggling during this time and getting laid off. I want to stress a point, though, to my constituents, and that is that the way the system works is that the state government administers the unemployment benefits. And so while we in the Congress appropriated more funding, it is incumbent upon the state to implement it and actually approve and disperse unemployment insurance. So what we will do, is, if you're having difficulty with that bureaucracy, and it is a bit of a bureaucracy because so many Kentuckians are applying for unemployment benefits right now, we can help direct you to the state agency, but they are under a bit of stress right now with the deluge of claims that are coming their way.
Well, we've been honored to have Kentucky 6th District U.S. Representative Andy Barr. Thank you so much for your time, Congressman.
Ethan, thank you, and to everybody out there, stay healthy. Give us a call if we can help you. We will get through this, and we're going to be stronger and more resilient as a country on the back end. And like I said before, we're going to hold China accountable for all of this and make sure that we get compensation for the American people. That's what I'm focused on 100% right now.
Thank you, Congressman.
Thanks so much.